Okay, here we go. Welcome to our New Mexico ICF virtual call. This is Heidi Howley from the Programs Committee. Thank you very much for joining us today for the New Mexico ICF virtual educational series for 2015. Our next event is on Thursday, February 26th, again from 4 to 5 p.m., and the speaker will be Jim Smith. His title is Market Your Value, Sell Your Services, and it'll be above business development. We will send you details about this by email, and if you're not on our email list, please let Kelly know. Kelly is our new fabulous virtual assistant, and I will give out her email at the end of this class. So if you want to know more about what ICF New Mexico does, please check out our website, icfnewmexico.org. We also have a Facebook page, ICF New Mexico. Our vision and statement is we're a vibrant community that is fun, challenging, and evolving to meet the needs of the New Mexico coaching community and the leadership team. Just a few words about an orientation for this session. When we get to question and answers, what we'll do is we will not mute you. I just heard that some of the coaches already are muting themselves. Thank you very much. So per our speaker's request, we will leave this session unmuted. Should you encounter background noise, we would ask you to please mute yourself by pressing star 6. And then again, pressing star 6 will unmute you. And now I would like to introduce our speaker. Today is Marion Franklin. And Marion has been an MCC coach since 2006 and a PCC since 1998. Marion currently teaches her own unique ICF laser coaching program, emphasizing masterful coaching skills. She created and facilitates ongoing weekly mentor practicums, supervising groups to hone coaching skills while offering certification preparation or renewal. Marion is passionate about helping coaches prepare for the ACC, PCC, or MCC certification with 100% success rate. Her wisdom and insight are evident through her eZine audiobook, Life's Little Lessons, her Coach Camp audios, and her company Life Coaching Group. And she is also a co-author of Seven Simple Secrets to Successful Workshops. She is currently working on her new book, which is focused on laser coaching and will be named Get to the Point. Along with supervising University of Texas, Dallas executive coaching students, her coaching practice emphasizes structural alignment methodology focused on permanent core behavioral changes. Now, a little bit about the program. Marion will teach us how masterful coaches have to zero in on what's most important without wasting time and without overpowering the client. Laser coaching is about maximizing time by getting to the source of the problem efficiently and effectively. It's not about asking loads of questions, but rather learning how to recognize the essence and getting the client to move forward easily and skillfully. Please welcome Marion Franklin. Marion, over to you.
Thank you so much, Heidi. Now that we've done the introduction, I have nothing to say. I thought there was so much in there. that's it. That was my presentation. No. Okay. So I always start presentations with a caveat / invitation. So the caveat is that what I share whenever I do, whether it's a talk or a class or anything, What I share is not necessarily the only way, and it's not necessarily the best way, and it's not necessarily a good way, but what it is what I have seen works based on my experience. So it's really coming from that. So the invitation is, you know, listen to what's going on and try it out for yourself. And if it works, then keep it and use it. And if it doesn't work, throw it away. So so that way, you know, my hope is that you will just be open to trying something new, basically. Okay, so so I'd like to start with a question. It's going to be slightly rhetorical, just so you know. normally I would start, and I do start by asking people, well, maybe I'll do it anyway, when you hear laser coaching, and I know Heidi read to you, you know, the blurb on it, but I'm kind of curious what you guys think laser coaching really is.
This is Karen. I think of it as getting directly to the point. It's kind of like getting there quickly, and kind of like what you were talking about is zeroing in and getting there quickly without using some of the more familiar techniques that we've had over the years.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Good, very nice. Anyone else?
If I may chime in, Erickson College, where I got my coach certification, we call laser coaching sessions that are 30 minutes or less.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm going to speak to that. Okay, anyone else on what you think it is? No one? Okay, so it's interesting that people usually, so, you know, like what Heidi said, people usually give it a time frame. It's a short conversation. It's a 30-minute. It's a 15-minute. It's you know. But the truth is, it's not necessarily anything related to time. The laser coaching is, as was said in the introduction, it's about getting to the heart of the matter without wasting a lot of time. And what's the big deal? I mean, you could ask a million questions. You could take an hour. So what's the point of trying to hone in on what's most important? Well, the reason is because if you can do that really efficiently, you can go to a deeper place. And by going to a deeper place with a client, you can make a change that is permanent versus temporary. So I wonder, you know, if you've had the experience where you've coached somebody and you think, oh, this is really cool, this person's really got it. And then a few weeks later, it's still kind of there. It's just not really totally resolved. So sometimes what happens is that we think we've helped the client because they come out with some kind of, we'll say, result or action or something, but it doesn't really mean that we've hit the real core or the real root of what's going on, and that's really what this is all about. And so my overall feeling is that when we go deeper versus broader, then we can get to the heart of the matter. And one of the ways to do that, and I'm sure you've all heard this before, but I'm going to give you a real way to figure it out, is that we want to really coach the person, not their situation. And I know that you've heard that. I know that you've been taught that, but no matter how many times I have listened to people coaching, and I can say thousands without exaggeration, people we get seduced by the story. The story that a client brings to us is extremely seductive, and we just want to get right in there and coach. But in truth, it's not about the story, because what a client brings to us when they come is just an example of something that's going on for them. But what we need to listen for is, who is this person? So we're going to do an exercise with that. And then I want to say another distinction that I think is important is nosy curiosity versus coaching curiosity. So anybody have any idea what I might mean by nosy curiosity versus coaching curiosity?
This Karen again. Well,
yes.
But I think nosy is just, maybe it's like asking, just really asking questions that perhaps nobody else might ask, because it might be rude or thought, you know. But also, it seems as though kind of nosy to me seems more about the person again. It's like things that you might not normally ask. Yeah.
Okay. So here, the way I'm making the distinction, I'm saying that nosy curiosity is where you, the coach, want that information. So what did he say when you did that? What happened when this went on? You know, those to me are nosy questions, where you're asking questions basically for information that's not going to help you better understand this person. Whereas in coaching curiosity, so, you know, what color dress did you wind up picking? Who cares? The problem was that this person couldn't make a decision about a dress. That's what we want to coach, like decision-making in that case, versus what color did you wind up with. Is that making sense now, between nosy and coaching curiosity?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So the other thing that often happens is that coaches get very attached to results and wanting it to go a certain way, and I know we all know not to have an agenda, so I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that sometimes the most powerful, in fact, all the time, the most powerful conversations are the ones where you truly, truly, truly have no clue where the conversation is going. You are just wondering, oh my gosh, I have no idea what I'm doing now. I don't even know what this is really, where we're going. That is the mark of more masterful coaching. And most importantly is that nobody should ever know where you got your training. And that means no jargon, no expressions, no words, no standard questions. I've never understood that people actually have questions that they ask. Because it's supposed to be natural. It's supposed to be more like a conversation where, not in the 50-50 sense, but a conversation where you sound like you would sound with a friend, in the sense of, imagine sitting with a friend at lunch. Do you think you would say to a friend, so what do you think you have to lean into? Right? You would never say that. So I would say, why say it in coaching? That's kind of my thing, just to be natural. So one of the questions that is important to hold in mind when you are listening to a client, it's a question that we should never actually ask out loud, but we should always hold. And it's not just when you're listening to a client, when you're listening to your children, when you're listening to a significant other, when you're listening to anybody, a friend, it doesn't matter. If you can hold this question in mind, I think you may find that the listening is a little different. And the question is, why is he or she telling me this? Why is he or she telling me this? So I want you to think for a minute, what do you think that might do if you're holding that question in mind? Why is she telling me this? What do you think that might do for you? So everybody unmute, because if you're on mute, we can't hear you, and then you can't really participate.
This I think it'll help you get to the core of what's going on with the client.
Okay, it'll help you get to the core.
That. Yeah, to peel the
okay,
onion, so
and
to
Barb?
Speak.
Yes.
I was going to say something similar. Yes, that it might give you some indication of sort of what's behind what they're saying as opposed to the
okay.
thing they're actually saying.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? What might it do, holding that question in mind?
This is Christy. And what
yes,
came to me
Christy.
When you asked that question was it would help me get into their it would almost help me get into their frame of
perfect. Yeah. You can step into their shoes. Right? Mm-hmm. So everybody can sort of agree that it would pique our curiosity more. Like, I wonder why she said that. So even just as an example, a client came to a call and she said, I really hate to bring this because I feel so vulnerable, but let me tell you what's going on. My son at school is having a problem and the teachers are kind of on my case and they're wondering, I'm wondering if I should have him tested, and if I have him tested, I don't know, should I do it with the teachers at the school or should I do it from the outside? So maybe you can help me in this conversation figure out what to do. So I'm curious from all of you, where do you think I might have started with that conversation? What could have been my first thing that I asked about?
What would you need to have to be able to make a decision?
Okay, I'm going to say that wasn't the question, so who else? But I'm just going to take that. Yeah, no, it's okay. What else? Who else? What do you think? Where do you think I started?
This is Deb. I would want to know what she thought.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Deb, what?
I'd want to know what she thought of all of that as a mother.
What she thought of all of that. Okay. Who else?
This is Kimberly. I would want to find out what's going on for you right now as you're telling me this.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else? All right. So the first thing I said was, what is making this so vulnerable for you? So my point being that if I'm thinking, why is she telling me this, which is kind of like what Kimberly was just saying, if I'm thinking to myself, why is she telling me this, why does somebody have to start with, I feel so vulnerable, when she could just say, okay, I've got a problem with my kid at school? Does everybody get how the curiosity changes? If you really think about, why would somebody tell me that? Is that making any sense for people?
Yes.
Anyone want to say anything about that? No? Okay. All right. So there are two things we listen for in a conversation. The first one is the truth. What is true for this client? So everybody says, well, what do you mean, what is true? Whatever they tell us, that's what's true, isn't it? And I say, no. Most of what people tell us is perception. It's their idea of the truth. But that doesn't mean it's the truth. So when somebody comes to you and says, my boss hates me, here are all the things he does, we don't know that he really hates her. He might do this with other people. He might be a grumpy person, but it doesn't mean necessarily that he hates her, but this is her interpretation of the truth. So we need to learn how to distinguish perception from truth. And the other thing we're listening for the limiting idea. So some people call it a belief. I try not to use that word, to be honest, because to me it's kind of jargon, because you don't go around saying to people, what's your belief, necessarily. You might say, what do you believe? But I don't think you use the word belief in a regular conversation. So I would really like to say, you know, what are your thoughts, or what do you think about that? But we're listening for the limiting idea. So that's a statement or a thought that the client has, and because of that thought, they're stuck. So sometimes it could even sound like, if I don't go every single day to run that division, it's going to fall apart. So can you hear that that's a limiting idea that this person holds that is not, in quotes, the truth? The place isn't going to fall apart. It may not be as effective, but it's certainly not going to fall apart.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyone have any questions on this, anything so far, or comments?
I like that, looking for the truth versus the perception. I think that really is it's helpful.
Yeah. It should be. Because that's really what we need to do. Because if you listen to a client and the client says, you know, I want to work on, I'm going to make it up, you know, I want to work on my relationship with my mother. You know, I need to know first, what's the reason for even wanting to work on this? Like, what's behind it? Like, who are you? What is it that you want by working on it? What do you think you're going to get? What do you think is the problem? I want to understand the person. I don't care about all the stories I hear about my mother does this and my mother does that. It's not important. What's important is what's really true. And the only thing that might be really true is that they don't have a great relationship. That might be the only thing out of the whole thing that's really true. So is that making sense for people?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, good. All right. So, so I'm just trying to think how much I want to give you and how much I don't want to confuse you. Okay, so I have a theory, we'll say, that a couple of things. One is, when we're listening to a long-winded story, that we want to listen for, who is this person? Okay? So I usually have this very, very long story, thinking I could do. I'll shorten it, but it's a long, very long wordy story, purposely, with lots and lots of detail. Because what I want you to do is listen to it, and while you're listening, I want you to think, why is she telling me this? What does she want me to know about her? What's the distinction between the story and the person? Okay? So here's the story. So I have a hobby, and you can see it on my website on my bio page. I do adult paint by number, which is basically when they're finished, they literally look like museum paintings. And I can only do maybe like 2 inches in a sitting because it's that with a magnifying glass. I mean, it's really like that precise. So it takes a lot of focus and a lot of effort. And I was working on this beautiful Van Gogh sunflowers painting, and my paints dried up. And so I called the company, and I told them, and they said, oh, no problem. We'll send you a new set of paints, but it does take about 10 days. I said, okay, fine. So I waited, and I didn't get any paints. So I called again, and the woman said, oh, I'm so sorry that happened, and let me send them out to you. I said, great. But she says, you know, it does take about 10 days. I said, okay, no problem. And I waited, no paints. So I called again, and this time I got a woman, and she said, you know what, I'm going to go over to the warehouse and FedEx them straight to you. I said, oh, that would be wonderful. Well, I waited, no paints. The next thing I know, I get a note in the mail, and the note says, we're so sorry to inform you, but this particular painting has been discontinued, and we can no longer get the paints. So I'm thinking, okay, and keep in mind, I've shortened the story, and this is a true story. There were 7 of those phone calls, but I'm shortening it. So now I say to myself, okay, I'm not going to get the paints. What am I going to do? And how am I going to make this work? Because I was only about a third of the way through with the painting. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to have to find paints that are similar and see that I can finish it. And a couple of days later, I go out to my mailbox, and there's this little package. And there, lo and behold, are my paints. This is a true story. I'm really not making it up, and I'm cutting out a lot of it. So, okay. So now, if I were the client, and I told you that long-winded story, obviously I wouldn't bring it to coaching because it's not like it's a problem now. But let's just say for sake of an exercise. So I bring you that story with all those details. What do you think I would want to hear now as the client? What would I want to hear from you as my coach so that I know you understand who I am? I would like to give it a shot.
Hi, Karen.
Okay, Karen, and who is the other one?
Pam.
Pam?
Ann.
Okay, go ahead. Pam, did you say?
No, Ann, A-N-N-E.
Ann, like I said, sorry. Okay, Ann, just hold on. Let's do, have Karen do it first, and then you can go, Ann. Go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you are so patient and resourceful, and that you definitely have a passion for completing what this artistic work that you're working on.
Okay, very good. And Ann.
I was thinking, gosh, I applaud you for your perseverance and your creativity. In the end, it all worked out for you. Bravo.
Okay, so...
Could I say something, too?
Yes.
This is Heidi. I would ask, the moment you saw the package, what shifted for you?
Okay, so here's the problem, we'll put in quotes, with that. No, seriously, the problem is, it's not that it's a bad question, it's a fine question. But I need to first know, because this story, in truth, takes 10 minutes, and I cut it short. But in truth, no matter what, I need to know that you really understood me, versus you're wanting to know something already. Does that make sense? Before that question, I need to know that you heard me. I just told you this whole story and all that I went through, blah, 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 blah. And then all you do is ask me a question. I don't feel like I've been heard. Does that make sense, Heidi?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And, Anne, the only thing I want to say, when I was listening to, you know, you captured the essence, but there was a wow and a bravo and maybe one other. And I just want to say to be careful, because it's not how we normally speak. Does that make sense?
I do.
Okay. Oh, do you?
Yes, I do. I was using my words, yeah.
Okay, okay. I, as a coach or as a friend?
Probably as a friend.
And.
It depends on how that relationship develops. But yeah, I was really impressed. And
oh, okay. That would be better. No, but listen, but seriously, Anne, by saying I'm really impressed by your, you know, willingness to keep going or whatever, you know, you said, I would actually hear that far better than wow and bravo.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm just putting it out there. Now, it could just be me. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But for me as the client, I would much rather you say, I am really impressed, that, rather than the wow and bravo. Because to me, it's a little too cheerleady. And I,
okay.
Again, that's just me. So anyway, just putting it out there. Again, everyone's different. You have to know your clients, clearly. But by the same token, the client needs to feel heard. Okay, so now, the next piece that I want to definitely cover is something that I hear very often that drives me crazy. There are a lot of things, by the way, that drive me crazy. 'Cause I do hear a lot, you know, but some things are a little more consistent than others. So here's something that I hear. I'm going to give you two versions of, so I'm going to give you the same story, but two versions that I hear. And it also just goes to what we were just talking about with the paint story. Okay, so client comes to the call, and the client says, I'm freaking out. I just found out that my husband was cheating on me, and I don't know what this is going to mean. I don't know if it means I'm going to get divorced. I don't know if I should tell my children what's going on. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to handle this. I'm just frantic. And the coach says, so what is it that you would like from this conversation?
Oh,
that's one thing I hear a lot.
That's awful.
The other one, the client says, same thing. I'm freaking out. I just found out that my husband is cheating on me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if it means I'm going to get divorced, blah, 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 blah. And the coach says, so I hear that your husband was cheating on you, and you don't know whether you should tell your children, and if this should mean that you're going to get a divorce, and you're totally frantic, and you want to know what to do. Did I get that right? And those are literally two things I hear consistently. And what's the problem? In the first one, there was absolutely no connection whatsoever with the client. None. And it was complete disconnect. And in the second one, it was, are you kidding me? Really, like, I know what I said. I don't need to hear that again. I need to know whether you can help me or what are we going to do here about this or something. But don't tell me exactly what I've said and then make it about you, the coach, to see if you got it right. So I always say there should never be, well, I can't say never. There are very, 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 very few exceptions. But basically, there should never be a yes-no question in a conversation.
And particularly not, did I get it right? Because for me, that is the coach wanting to know, am I really a good coach? Did I really listen well? Did I get what you said? And that to me doesn't work. Rather, it would have been much better if the coach had said, so it sounds like, you know, in this freak out, your husband is planning to leave you and you're not sure where things are going to go. And so I'm wondering, and then you ask a question, and the, like, what would be helpful in this conversation? And the client says, well, no, actually, I don't know that he's leaving. I just found out that he was cheating, but I'm not sure that he's leaving. Isn't that natural that if you don't get it exactly right, the client will tell you?
Yeah.
Has anyone ever had that experience?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all the time.
Okay. So then drop this did I get it right thing. That's my point here. And also, don't just ask what I call naked questions, because naked questions don't connect. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so to demonstrate that, and one thing that's going to make your questions really better consistently, and it may not be easy to do, but they will it will consistently make your questions far more powerful. Even though, by the way, there is no such thing as a competency powerful questions. Does everybody know there's no competency that says powerful questions?
Oh. No.
It's powerful questioning. It's not powerful questions. It's powerful questioning. And there's a reason. But we want to have the greatest impact however we do our question. It's not a, so it, sometimes the simplest question, what did you mean by the word challenge when you said that, could be the most powerful question of the entire conversation. And it's not a particularly tricky question or thought-provoking in the sense of for the coach. It's just a question, and it could wind up being the most powerful of the whole thing. So there's no such thing as powerful questions, but to make questions have a better impact, I'm going to say if you can get in the habit of starting every single question, and I know people struggle with this dramatically, but it takes practice. And once you get it, it's unbelievable, again, from my experience, and that is start every question with the word what. I know it sounds simplistic, but by starting every question with the word what, you are going to open up the space and make the question much more provocative, especially versus a how question, because how is always about methodology. How did you do that? How did you think about that? It's not powerful. It doesn't have a big impact versus what was going on in your mind in that moment. Ooh, I have to think now. The goal of every question you ask should force the client to have to think. If the client is just going to answer straight up, you know it was probably not your best question and it was probably just informational. So, for example, if I ask you, what did you have for lunch today? I am sure that everybody can rattle off what they ate at lunch today, if they even had lunch. But everybody can rattle off the meal. But if I say to you, what was going on in your mind while you were having lunch today, you're going to have to think. And that should be the goal of every question you ask. So anybody want to say anything about that?
And what you're going to find is that it's tricky. It can be very tricky because it's not a habit. And you're going to desperately want to ask a question a different way. And I am going to say to you, if you start a different way, just say, hold on a second, and switch your question. It's going to take some practice, but it will make a dramatic difference. Okay, was somebody going to say something?
No, it's just really, this is good. This is cool.
Okay, good.
I have a,
yes.
I have a question going back to, and thank you, this makes a lot of sense. Going back to, what is a naked question? Because you said naked questions don't connect.
Yeah, naked questions, we're coming to that right now. There's no context.
Okay.
There's absolutely no context. It sort of comes, it's a kind of question that comes from your head without any explanation as to where it's coming from, and it just hits the client without any other words, and the client's thinking, what does she really want me to say here, or why is she asking me that question, or where did that come from? It has no context. So we're going to do that right now. So here's a true story. I was on vacation with a friend, and we were in a condo. We were sitting in the living room, and he was on the couch, and he was doing something really weird with the blanket that was on that couch. And I turned to him, and I said, what are you doing with that blanket? And he said, Marion, I hate when you ask those kinds of questions. I said, what are you talking about? What kind of question? I just want to know what you're doing with the blanket. He says, I hate when you do that. And he wouldn't answer me. So I figured, okay, not important enough. Let it go. And we went to dinner, and, you know, we always talked about really, really, like, great topics and things. And, you know, it was always a profound conversation. So we're back in the living room after dinner, and we're talking away, and in the middle of this conversation, he says, Marion? I said, yes. He said, what size bra do you wear? I said, what? Why would you ask me a question like that? He said, because I want you to know what it sounds like to get a question with no context. So, to go back to Anne's thing now about naked questions, what I was thinking in my mind, if I had said, I've never seen anyone do that with a blanket before, I'm just so curious, what are you doing with it? He probably would have answered, because it had some context then. But this way, it just came out of thin air, and he felt like, why is she asking me this? What does she really want to know? What's the point here? There was no way of knowing what my thinking was. So that's why I say, if you're going to ask a question, try to give it a little bit of context. So I heard you say the word challenge. What does that mean to you versus what does challenge mean? Sometimes people will use it. A coach will say it. So what did it signify? Well, the client can't ever remember what they were talking about 4 seconds ago. So give the question a little bit of context so that it makes sense where it's coming from. So anybody want to say anything about that?
Great suggestion. I just wrote it down.
Okay.
I think it's a great suggestion, and I think it would probably need to be balanced with keeping questions simple.
Yes. It has nothing to do with the question can still be as simple as possible. And absolutely, you're absolutely right. But you're not making your question any more complex or any more wordy. You're just sometimes, you're listening to a client, and you know how everybody knows what I'm going to say now. You're listening to the client, and you're thinking to yourself, she really did that? That was so stupid. I can't believe she did it, right? We all have these, don't we have good ideas as we're listening? Don't we think sometimes, right?
Yes.
You have your little
yes.
editorials
okay.
going on in your mind? Yes?
Yeah.
We try not to.
Yeah.
There.
We have your little judgments. Let's be honest, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We have these little judgments, these little opinions, these little whatever. So, and then you go and ask a question, without explaining anything, versus even a simple question, I still could say, you know, I'm so fascinated because, I don't know, you said that it didn't bother you. And I'm just so curious, what was it about that that didn't bother you? You know, in other words, like, I'm not getting it. So, or, you know, I'm not clear that I understand how, you know, what was it about that that didn't bother you? Or, you know, something, and I don't know, I'm making this up now. But my point being that you can keep the question as simple as you want, but sometimes a little, so just don't have a conversation. This is where I got it from, especially when I do the supervision. And, you know, I'm looking at a transcript, and what I get is question, answer, question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. And there's no, in my mind, there's no connection. And if I look at a transcript without reading any words on the page, what I want to see as somebody assessing a conversation, I want to see a short, very short something, which is representing the coach, and then I want to see a really, really long paragraph representing the client. Is that making sense? Because I want that client to have to think. And I want better information so I can move ahead with this person and understand who this person is. Okay, so I'm going to give you one last example. Is that, how are we doing on time, Heidi?
Yes, one example is fine. Thank you, Marion.
Okay. So a client came to a call, and she said, I've inherited a house. My aunt and uncle died, and they left me their house. And, you know, ever since that's happened, I find that I'm never on time anymore. I used to be a very timely person. I always got to things right on time. And now, ever since then, I can't even imagine what's going on, but it's just so much extra work for me, and it's just, I don't know, it's just making it really hard. So I realized that I'm never on time, and it's really bothering me, so I really need to your help in figuring out how I'm going to better manage my time. So what do you think this conversation was about? Or what do you think was the beginning question?
Seems like there's two things, but there's some really the getting the house, having received this house as an inheritance. There's something there that she's not. There's something in that she isn't dealing with. The time management thing is a result of it's something else. If she wants to deal with that at some other time, you could probably work it. But there's something underneath that, and whether it's grief or whatever, who knows? The questions would have to find out what that was about. That's my opinion.
Okay, good. Who is that?
Karen.
Karen, okay.
Yeah.
So, my opening question, so I said, you know, so I get that you inherited this house and now there's a time problem. That's all I said, because that was enough for her to know that I heard her. Doesn't have to be long-winded. So I you know, you inherited this house, and now there's been this time problem. So I'm curious, what does it mean for you to now have this house? That was my opening question. And this whole conversation didn't take very long, because what we discovered was that she was very, and so Karen, you're right, spot on, she was very resentful that she now had this house,
And the reason she didn't really want to make a big thing of it was because everyone thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. Everyone told her how fortunate she was. Everyone told her how great this was and what an honor it was. And she was resenting it. And so the lateness was her way of expressing anger.
Mm-hmm.
That all came out in about 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, just from that opening question. What's making this, what is this house representing for you? Or inheriting this house? And that began the conversation going to a deeper place. Okay, so.
Yeah,
so I'm going to just close with a quote. Since I know I'm supposed to stop. this is a quote from, and I can go on, you know, for years with this stuff.
So good.
Thich Nhat Hanh, and the quote is, "You cannot transmit wisdom and insight to another person. The seed is already there. A good teacher touches the seed, allowing it to wake up, to sprout, and to grow." So you can think of that with your clients or however you want to think of it. And I really wanted to thank everybody for being here and listening and your questions and your contributions and Heidi and Barb for organizing. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you, Marianne. Just wonderful, Marianne.
I would like to ask the audience to please share a nugget that you're taking away today from Marianne's insights and presentation.
This is Christy. I can start a lot. I just felt very affirming. I just really like to hear Marianne's insight as a master coach. Felt really... really fun, the exercises in giving a coaching scenario and then asking us what our first question would be. I thought that was great. And the whole I love the part where, Marianne, you said you were so irritated by the people, the coaches who get wrapped up in procedure and lose their presence. I really liked that part.
Mm-hmm. Good. I like the way you just phrased that.
Who else would like to say something?
This is Karen, and I'd like to say I really love the challenge that goes along with asking questions that begin with what. And that, and also that truly looking for and always listening for who is this person and why are they telling me this? I think those are really fabulous things to work on, and I thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Kimberly. I really appreciate your distinction between reflecting back, like we're taught, whether it's nonviolent communication or reflecting back,
uh-huh,
in terms of being sort of specific, and did I get that right? And I love what you shared in terms of a more natural way to let the client know that you hear them. So thank you,
mm-hmm,
for the whole session.
Good. You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you so much, Marianne. We're grateful to you for this opportunity to have you speak about laser coaching. And if you would like to contact Marianne, please go to her website. It's www.lifecoachinggroup.com, or you may email her, Marianne@lifecoachinggroup.com, and she can then share with you the ongoing mentor practicum workshops that she does, or about her intensive laser coaching program and so forth, and the book. It's all on her website. Marianne, again, thank you so much. I will.
You're so welcome.
It was great to have you. I will now stop the recording.